You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So we were just talking here before we turned the microphones on, and very few times in my career have I ever seen a guy from sports where I've said I could work with that guy as a co-host because he could do all the entertainment stuff and isn't afraid. And I have seen very few athletes, some professional media people I've seen, but very few athletes who could do it. And Chris Long is one of them and one of a very short list. So a number of different topics I want to cover with him today, and we'll tell you about his podcast that you should be listening to in a second. But first, you've made what of what's happened with your Eagles? Because that Eagles team that won the Super Bowl is one of the best teams I've ever seen in my life. Fun. And I can't believe how quickly everything fell apart.
Well, first, Dan, thanks for the kind words, man. The media thing's, it's not too bad. You know, my body feels a lot better. I don't get yelled at. So it's not bad. So I appreciate that. Hey, the Eagles, 2017, I would agree with you. We were, I mean, at least in the last 20 years, you have to look at us as one of the best few teams. I mean, there was certainly some teams that had, you know, like Seattle when they beat Denver. You know, they were kind of this renegade team. We had a vibe kind of like that. We were just one of those teams that when you saw the Bills before the Colts game and everybody sees them in practice, and this isn't the perfect way of thinking, but look at them dancing, they're going to win. Like, I kind of – they made me think about our group. You know, when you see a team that's just having fun and it's clicked, that was us.
Oh,
and,
but you guys knew how good you were. Like, you knew that offensive line is one of the – well, you knew better than most. I was arguing that that offensive line is the single greatest offensive line in the history of the game.
It's up there, dude.
They made
it's
a backup quarterback look like Nick Foles. Nick Foles wasn't that good. I mean, I know he was good for you guys, but but you they made that dude.
Well, they made a lot of things. I mean, I'm not saying they made – I'm not boiling it down and simplifying it that way, but I would agree with you, Dan, that they are up there as far as the best offensive lines in the history of the game because, you know, people would be like, what about the Hogs and that sort of thing? Like, no disrespect to, like, people from the 80s or the 70s. I had, you know, my dad's a Hall of Famer, played in the 80s, and, you know, in the 90s, the sizes started to change. But, like, these guys are massive human beings. Brandon Brooks is 330 pounds with a six-pack, okay? Lane Johnson is bigger than you think. And Lane Johnson, I went against him in practice every day. He's the best right tackle that I ever played. And you've got Jason Peters, who, you know, he's fallen off a little bit since then. I mean, he might be retiring, but it was a great group. Kelsey, and that was the engine for sure. We also had a really good defensive front. And we covered some things up, you know, on the back end a little bit. But we were just not going to be denied. And so I think what you had there was, and I've said this before, and it was controversial when I said it a year ago, but I wasn't saying it like it was a slight. It was kind of lightning in a bottle, it looks like. Because in the NFL, when your window's open, you either know it's going to close quickly or you don't. And what's happened is over the past couple of years, I feel like there was a sense maybe a little bit that, hey, we're going to be here a little bit. And this illustrates how hard it is to stay there. It's one thing to get there, but it's really hard to stay there. And that's why I think so much of what they've been able to do in New England, no matter what you think about them, even this year, they found a way to motivate guys, to be competitive, not to crater, and to beat some very good teams.
They cheat, I mean, though. You think they're cheaters, right?
I don't. I mean, I don't know. Listen, do. Spygate, whatever you think, if they cheated there, they cheated there. But not while I was there, they didn't cheat.
But Chris, how does this work for you? Because I think the reason Eagle fans thought the way they did after winning that Super Bowl was because they had that position, the quarterback position, secured, and they had it for the next decade. So
it's crazy.
What do
and
you
they,
do?
And they still might. Here's the thing: like like Carson had a terrible year. I've said that. Like, it's very, you can very objectively point out that he had a terrible year. But you can also very objectively point out that when a guy shows you what he showed in 2017, 2019, he was hurt in 2018, you know, with that cratered roster, throwing to guys that are shadow pictures in the program, like literally, like Baker Mayfield said he met his guard the other night and everyone's like, oh my gosh, like Carson, it was like a carousel of receivers last year. Like, and so him being able to do what he did in December, that gives you a reason to believe that maybe this is an anomaly, but they have to find out quickly, right? Because they have to make a decision, and I think it's going to be a tough one. The cap could be down at 175, right, Dan? So I'm hearing some things about maybe it's not going to be as bad as we thought. It's going to be really hard to move Carson because of not other teams' ability to absorb his contract, but the Eagles' ability to eat that dead cap. But so now you've got Jalen Hurts, who you might have alienated. You've got Carson, who might feel alienated. And you've got a training camp with a new coach and an OTA with a new coach, whoever that is, and a job that a lot of guys might not want to take. You're 60 mil over the cap. Your roster's aging. And the guy who won a Super Bowl, and there's a statue of him outside the stadium, he left because, in part, he wanted more control. If I'm a coach and I'm like, you know, like if I'm a really good coach who's got clout, do I want to go into a situation where the guy that just left and won them a Super Bowl for the first time in franchise history wanted more control?
Chris, help me with something here, because if I've come up to you and said, hey, in a few years, Doug Peterson's going to get fired, you're saying to me there's a scandal there before you're saying to me everything fell apart, right? There's no way you would believe that you'd be talking to us that soon after that overwhelming team and that the leader of it didn't become something that more resembled Belichick than a dude with sausage fingers who's being fired 4 years in.
He does have big hands. I would say this, like Belichick is a hard, I mean, that's extreme because there's only one of those guys, right? Everybody else for the most part, like coaches, they're relevant. They, you know, you might stay the same place for 10, 15 years, but if you're lucky, if you get one, right. And I wouldn't have bet on Doug being gone within 4 years, but I also know how hot it is in Philly. Like, I'm one of the smartest people of all time. I got out of there before shit hit the fan. Like I'm good there. And I love the fact that like people like me in Philly and all that stuff. But also you might have hated me if I stuck around one more year or two more years. Yeah. Like this is what happens when teams struggle. Everybody gets put under the heat.
You did good mercenary work in both places, actually. Like I get in and I get out. And New England, like you got in. That is New England, Philadelphia. That's some expendable shit.
Go here with a Super Bowl. Go there with a Super Bowl. In and out mission.
Wait a minute.
Long.
Is that what is that? Is that are the Super Bowls right over your shoulder?
Are those two Lombardis?
Yeah. Yeah, but they're replicas, dude. The thing that like people and I. The reason I put him back there, it was funny. Somebody the other day bust my balls and they were like, oh, cool flex. I'm like, this is not a flex to me. I was there. Okay. That's the way I think about being on a Super Bowl team, especially New England, where like my role was like, by the end of the year, my role was just a pass rush. You know, in Philly, I felt like I was a bigger part of that. But still, I mean, like, they're just replicas, man, you know?
Yeah, but they're two Lombardis. Is that a bear also behind you? And it appears to be a little Buddha right in front of the Vince Lombardi
trophies.
What
are you going for? What is the aesthetic we're going for there, Long? Explain it. It's a radio audience, a podcast audience. So go ahead and describe what you're sitting in the center of now, your empire.
Well, my house is a mid-century modern farmhouse for context, okay? I have a tremendous eye for design. But my studio, we threw this shit together like a year ago when we were like, oh, we got to do a live YouTube. We're trying to live stream a game or something. And we got all this stuff. Like, I got printed pictures that I framed back here. I've got two replicas. I got some records. You guys don't even see this. I got two of these guys.
What is
they're
that?
In a
what is
it? They're what in a duel. What does it look like, Darren? It's a squirrel with a pistol.
Oh, of course.
Oh, of course. Yes, of course. Yes. Well, tell people. So this studio's there for the Greenlight Pod, right? Like, go ahead and tell people what you're doing so people know that you're sitting in the center of something. Chris Long is building something now where he's going to do in retirement what's very hard to do. One of these guys who gets their identity from football. Yeah. Nothing replaces the gladiator spectacle of Sundays. What can I do that will ever fill that hole? Well, there's nothing that'll fill that hole. But here, I'm going to try my hand at entertainment here. I'm going to do what my dad did. I'm gonna try and stay close to the sport while outside the sport and missing the sport forever.
Well, I can tell you, if you're a former player, don't try to fill that void with gambling. It's really hard, especially on the NFL. But listen, I love doing the pod. I love talking to people. I love to have you guys on sometime. But You know, we're indie. So you guys just had a big change. I decided to avoid all of that stuff altogether. And that certainly cost me some listenership. I don't have like people pumping the numbers and I don't have a nice big platform, but you know, it's nice to kind of set my own schedule. And in the season, we do a pod on Mondays with Stanford Steve. Stanford Steve and I break down the Sunday's action. We had a really fun one yesterday previewing last night. As of, you know, if you're listening, it might have been a few nights ago, but I had James Laurinaitis on, Stanford Steve. One of my best buddies from high school and I decided, well, he kind of walked in one day and was like, hey, dude, you kind of need a co-host. And I was like, what are you saying? He's like looking at me like, come on, dude. And my boy Macon and I have been sitting here in this other chair that you can't see out of picture.
Are you a free agent? Are you available right now? Should we be talking off air? Or do you belong to anybody right now?
Talk about it on air.
We're starting a podcast network, you know?
A couple of podcasters cutting it up.
Yeah, we've got a podcast network and we don't know. Like, you're a free agent as well? You're in the middle
of free agent. I'm so free, dude. I'm so free. You know, we do four pods a week, so it's... We're busy. We hustle. We grind. The evaluators should know that. And we're high character, you know. and Dan, I do love it. I have replaced football with this. The grind of, I didn't know how hard it was to be in the media, especially during football season. I'm as tired as I was as when I played. It's just mental, you know.
Great.
And certainly there's days where what do you do, Dan, when you wake up and you don't want to talk one day?
It's exhausting. No, Chris, it's why most people don't have a radio show and a TV show. It's why it's really hard to be Stephen A. Smith, the always onness of it. I've talked to people who work hard, manual labor, and they will tell you that the doing of this is more physically exhausting. And it seems ridiculous to me, given what you did for a living, but you might be more tired now at the end of days than you used to.
I never really have mornings where I wake up and don't want to speak into a microphone. But the rare times that I do, Chris, what I do is I smoke a blunt. Okay, that's what I do.
Yeah, well, I like a joint. I go out on that porch there,
boy.
And you know what though, I don't like to smoke before I talk to people I don't know well. It makes me like a tad paranoid of like the conversational undertones.
If
I know somebody well, like I'm out there on the
porch.
Well,
hold on, Chris. Can we do this? Because I told Stugatz that we wanted to smoke on air today, and I don't know if you brought weed or not. But if you did bring weed and you have weed, it'd be nice if we now.
You guys sound like cops right now.
No, we should. Let's get your podcast some attention here. You can go viral with a moment, Chris. Chris Long and Stugatz smoked weed while talking.
I would like to do an episode.
This is a morning work day. I left my stuff at home. I got to go play with the kids.
You guys are crazy.
No. Like, listen. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's the best job in the world that I can hit the porch and then talk into a microphone. But it does get exhausting. And some days you don't like. You know what sucks is, you know, planning your shit. Like planning your own pod. Like on days where there's nothing to talk about. You're trying to contrive something and you can feel it when you're trying to contrive a day. And it's just like, you know, what do you do? I don't know.
Chris, surround yourself with people you like, because that doesn't feel that way to us when we're doing the show there. We love doing it with each other because it's like the locker room. It's just friends around and just
no doubt. You guys have a good thing and you live in cities where you can hire like Cowboy Reed. Shout out to my producer. And shout out to John. John's remote. Cowboy Reed's here. It's great. But most days it's me and Cowboy Reed. Like someday, my co-host sells real estate for a living. Slings single-family homes.
Does he want to work in Miami? Do these guys want to work in Miami? You can stay put.
Let's just negotiate.
Let's just negotiate right now on air. I think I could do that.
Listen, lighting a joint around all that expensive equipment, Chris, is very dangerous. So I don't want you to do that. And I didn't bring weed today.
We don't want the smell in here, dude.
So let's take mushrooms. What do you think?
My foundation office is downstairs, and if I have some bigwig in and he's like, it smells like the hot leaf, the devil's lettuce up there, I'm not going to donate, you know? So there's an upstairs and there's a downstairs, you know? And we're in the penthouse.
How about shrooms? They don't smell. What do you think?
No, they don't. No comment, but they don't smell.
Okay, no comment. Okay. Very good. All right.
I can get weed right outside if I want,
this is what we need to do as part of negotiations. All right, Chris, before we go on with this conversation and tell people more about the Green Light Pod, what we're going to end up doing is a little bit of a merger here for a couple of days. If you need content and we need content, and by way of negotiating with you to see if we can get you to be a part of the podcast network,
we need to do some home and homes.
Well, but I want to do drugs with you on air. You and Stugatz.
I will rip massive bong hits, and you and I will do an episode.
I think that would be a bad idea.
No, it's not.
I talked to Dan and Eric about this. I know I'm not supposed to call him Eric because the little barstool guys get mad because they say his name's PFT. I call him Eric. Eric brought up bongs the other day. And I think bongs are kind of like a 20-something thing. Is that a hot take?
Are you too old for that?
Really?
You're too old for bongs already?
He said, really? You know when he said, really?
But I was told, I was told bongs were the healthiest way to, listen, I have no
issues. Did you bring weed today, yes or no?
I do not have weed on me today. I don't. I don't have weed. I'll bring it tomorrow.
Later this week. Look, we're off tomorrow, but on Thursday, I want to do this home and home. On Thursday, as part of negotiations to try and get Chris Long to work as part of our podcast network, Chris Long and Stu Gatz will smoke weed and talk sports.
He already
sports.
Said no to this.
Take a hint.
I mean, I don't know. I don't say no to anything. I set my schedule 24 hours out. You know, that's why Stu was trying to get me on the show, and I just waited till yesterday to figure a time. So there's a chance. I mean, I don't know. Check back with me later in the week, Stu. All right, done.
Listen, I will bring weed with me to work every day for the remainder of my life. Okay.
The rest of your life. What are the laws like down there?
I mean, it's Miami.
It's Miami. Chris, come on. What do you mean, what are the laws? Like, what laws? What do you speak of? What are you talking about?
I can tell you guys the Florida, they don't have their shit together right now.
Embarrassing.
Was that Bama party with 10,000 people in Florida?
No, that was not here.
We're fully operational and open for business.
No, but I mean, Tuscaloosa, all those people. How mortified are you by that, Chris? Like, we've been fooling around with you, but what you see happening in America right now, and you have
As
been-
As I cough, geez.
Yes, yeah, because he's smoking, for those of you. You can't see it. He just took a big rip.
You know what? It's golly, dude. I wish we would all just think of each other a little bit more. I think it's pretty much that simple. And you know, when this thing started, I get the fact that some people don't get as sick and that sort of thing. And I'm not a doctor, nor am I like overly political. And that's been something that's just been totally misconstrued because I'm one of the few people that said they don't like that big orange piece of shit. Listen, this whole thing, we could be so much further ahead if we just thought about each other a little bit. And I totally get that some people are hurting, businesses are hurting, and I heard the whole riot act on the economy and that sort of thing, but there's nothing essential about that kind of party. Nor was there anything essential about the Lakers parade, the party outside the Staples Center. So I don't just want to pick on the red states. You know, there are people that are just finding excuses to party right now, dude.
Well, I'd like to get into where it is you see America right now. Like, you have been someone who's been vocal on the race stuff, Chris. And Mike Ryan was saying earlier when we were talking, like, what do those people who were storming our symbol for freedom say when you ask them, hey, what do you think of the way Kaepernick protested? Like,
I don't ask them many things at all, those people. I've given up on conversations. That's not to say anybody... When I say something like I've given up trying to reason with people like that, that's not to say that like somebody's going to swoop you up in a white van and take you away. I know you like to quote George Orwell and you never read the f-ing book, but like nobody's persecuting you. In fact, you just stormed the Capitol like and walked out like it was a movie theater. So I just would say I am personally out of gas on a dialogue. I really am. It just sucks, dude. It sucks that at least we know now that it was never about, I mean, there was never any plausible deniability in my mind, but now it's very obvious it was never about patriotism. It was never about America. It was never about law and order. I mean, these people have stumbled over themselves and been hypocritical at every turn in the road. So I think it sucks. I used to be very patriotic. I have a hard time being as patriotic, and my patriotism always comes from a place of like the people. Like we love America. I love living here. Like I haven't moved. I love people that I meet. I love like the different cultures. I think we have so many good things going on, but our government is just, it's kind of in shambles, man. I don't know. It's scary a little bit.
Not a little bit. A lot of it.
So 50% of the country voted for the guy. So, I mean, everybody kept saying it New Year's Eve, like, can't wait to get this you're over with. I was like, what happens at midnight?
Well, Stan Van Gundy says we're in the middle of civil war, that this is going to continue. It's going to be the 20th. There's going to be domestic terrorism. You see the reports, 50 capitals, armed people. Like, we're headed towards something. It's not a little bit scary, Chris. It's the crisis of our lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, we are We are, I guess, at an impasse. I'm sorry if I sound defeated, but, you know, when people came out in droves to vote for him a second time, I kind of was like, okay, this is who we are. I mean, this has always been who we are. I hate hearing, you know, I know it's almost impossible to speak on this without somebody criticizing you, and you could think you're saying the right thing and saying, this isn't who we are, and people are like, this is who we are, motherfucker. They're kind of right, though. I mean, this is who we've been. I mean, this surfaced because this status quo has been threatened in the least bit. I mean, just in the least bit, this is the reaction. So, yeah, the white supremacy, the, you know, the being a joke on a national or international stage. Cause like, this is the shit you turn on TV and you're like, that's what's happening over there. You got people in fur coats and Viking horns storming the Capitol building. Like that's, we used to thumb our nose at like shit like that. Right. This is here now. Like, this is us, dude.
Well, this is the thing that was crushing to me. I was talking about this earlier, Chris. As much as I'm emotional and angry and scared about all this, it's just coding. What I am more than anything is heartbroken. I knew there were race issues in the country. I did not know that they were this. I simply didn't know they were this.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's not like I grew up in the South, you know, but Virginia, south of the Mason-Dixon line, you see things. I mean, like, you see people driving around with stars and bars and all that sort of thing, but it was always fringy. Like, you couldn't say it out loud. And I think one of the most dangerous things this guy's done is empower people to just speak loudly about that sort of sentiment. And also kind of proves that, hey, if you're thinking about being like a fascist and you want to run for office, it's possible. Like, you can get half the country's votes and barely speak English. Like, you can barely get sentences out. We saw that since the debate stage in 2016. I'm in Foxborough watching the debates, getting ready to play for the Patriots. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, there's no way. I'm so ashamed that this guy's even on the debate stage. How did we get here?
What did you
Four
make
years later?
What did you make of Belichick? Because that team, while you were there, was Trumpy, was a little, you know, you had Brady and Belichick and Kraft, all of them a little too chummy there.
There's a lot of Trumpy athletes and there's a lot of Trumpy coaches. And I think sometimes they became like the poster children, but.
But yesterday, Belichick refusing the highest civilian honor because he wasn't going to take it from a rapey, orange, racist turd.
Hey, listen, man, I said this before. I am not an overly political person. I was so relieved. You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of Bill. I really do. And I think people can have differences. And at some point, and I said earlier, I'm over the dialogue with people. That's not to say I'll judge a friend if they continue to try to work on the 70-something million people. Like, if a buddy of mine's like, I just can't give up on people. I'm still going to try to reach them. I'm still going to try to have these tough conversations. I'm not going to cancel them. You know, I'm not going to cancel that friend for engaging. I'm just done engaging. And I did not want to, when I heard he was getting that honor, well, if you call it an honor at this point, I was just like, God, I hope he does the right thing because I know he's principled. I know, you know, as a coach, he doesn't, you guys are like, well, he's a cheater. But I know as a coach, like, he doesn't like bullshit. He doesn't like people that are full of shit. He doesn't like, as he would put it, assholes. And I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I'm trying to imagine why in somebody's head who I know is so smart and claims to love the country as much as he does, that he would accept this award. And I've just been so bummed by everybody. I've been, every turn in the road, you're like, somebody has a breakout game. You're like, okay, that guy is, he wears a red hat, by the way. We found some old tweets. To get this bit of good news in the sports world that somebody like stood up, although it was very late, I was really relieved because I really like Bill.
Does he like Brady?
Does Bill like Brady?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I'm sure he likes Brady.
Okay.
I'm sure he really likes Brady right now.
Do you like Brady? Does the politics there get in the way? I don't know, but we can guess. Brady,
I mean, you guys like Masvidal, right?
Well, we've had to break free from the QAnon. Once it got so deep that you were out there doing propaganda for Trump, and I'm sitting there trying to do a moderation right before the election, Chris, of Cuban Americans in this state where I was going to moderate something, and Masvidal's running around doing something dangerous, and I couldn't engage from there. No, that's an uneasy alliance that we carried because it was colorful and entertaining for a long time.
Uneasy, but
the thing that sucks is you're having to make these decisions about a lot of people, right? Like, and again, it's not like they're getting snatched up in a white van as a lot of these conservatives, and I don't even have a problem with conservatives. If you're a conservative and you're like a never Trumper, like all that shit, like, dude, this is political discourse is what makes this country great, and being able to have a view and that sort of thing. Like, but there are certain people that, you know, you're like, damn, that would hurt me if you found out. And so, listen, I don't know Tom's politics at this point. I know at one point he was cool with that dude and that sort of thing, but I like Tom. Tom and I, you know, I shared a great year with Tom. Tom and I didn't share a great year. But I'll always remember.
What was that? What's the distinction you're making there? You tried to get close to Tom, but Tom wouldn't allow you too close? What's the distinction?
No, not at all. Like, I just know my place in Patriot. Like, you never want to say something like, you know, me and Tom. Like, there's no me and Tom. Even though Tom was the most regular, like, superstar, GOAT-type teammate I had, I was so surprised at how down to earth he was and treated everybody in the building really well. The first day I walked in, I told this story before, he was like, I walk up and I'm like, I'll introduce myself or whatever. And before I could even get to him, he's like, hey, Chris, nice to meet you. I'm Tom. And I'm like, no shit, dude. You don't have to introduce yourself to people. But that simple action and I saw him do it with so many people. It's really endearing as a teammate. But also in Tampa, look at what he's done this year. He can be the asshole.
Oh, but Chris, there, come on.
Here we go.
Come
here
on.
Here we go.
Chris.
Performance arts.
Chris, don't say it, Dan.
ESPN's coming out.
I care
ESPN's
about
coming
you.
Out. We got
Dan. Chris, Dan. Chris, but I'm just saying, like, that's HGH, isn't it? Like, come on. He's 43 years old. Like,
why does it have to be HGH? The guy can barely run. If you're on HGH, don't you, like, run and jump and you know, look jacked and all types of shit.
He's just aging differently than anyone in the history of the position. You're supposed to age.
It could be Botox, bro. You're looking at his face. You saw the George Blanda graphic the other night. George Blanda didn't have avocado ice cream. You can't compare eras, bro.
That was a jarring picture. Why did Belichick kick Guerrero out of the stadium? Explain that one, okay?
Guerrero. I don't know any Guerrero.
The doctor.
Who's Guerrero?
The doctor. Tom's doctor.
Alex Guerrero. Again, me and Tom. There's no me and Tom. I just observe Tom. I don't know. Probably because, like, in the NFL, trainers are, you know, trainers work for, they're not bad guys. They just work for the team. And I've got trainers I'm still really tight with. Shout out to the Rams training staff, Reggie Scott, Byron, Tyler, all those guys. We're still in a fantasy basketball league. So I love trainers, bro. But they work for the team, and Alex Guerrero works for Tom. So eventually that's going to come to a head. I mean, when you're trying to diagnose something and be very protective of your client, and the trainer's like, nah, dude, we can't have him sitting for 4 days in practice. I know it would be the best thing for his body. There's always this thing going on between people's gurus and the training staffs all over the league. But where that got awkward was, you know, Tom is the GOAT. So, like, obviously Tom's guy's coming to work with him. And, you know, this place is like Fort Knox. You know, like, that place has no windows, dude.
We'll get you out of here on this. And thanks again for the time. Green Light Pod, you should check it out because I enjoy what this guy finds himself thinking about. So one last serious question. You're watching the symbolism of American freedom being stormed in our capital, and you've done a lot of thinking on the race front, you've been a white guy in a lot of black rooms, so I'm guessing that has imprinted you in some ways. So when the police are allowing those people into the building, which of these choices is Chris Long selecting? They are doing that because they've been ordered to do that, or they're doing that because when they see white faces, they don't see white faces as threatening until they're bashing in the skull of a police officer with a fire extinguisher, or both? What are the options there on how those people got let into that building, given what that building is meant to protect?
Well, first and foremost, I do believe that Trump told them to stand down. Now, whatever that means, you know, you draw your own conclusions. I think he wanted that to happen, which is what makes him so dangerous and vile and un-American. But I also think a lot of those cops were probably just fine with that. And I think a lot of those cops, as you could see in some of those videos, were even kind of on the same team. And the irony of the whole thing is let me say this first. If you don't believe in white privilege, I know that some white folks get tired of hearing it because they take it as some like insult. I don't take it as an insult. I'm a good guy. I have a privilege, you know, like a privilege doesn't mean the privilege to me is looking at it and saying, I want everybody to be treated like me. I'm not getting treated the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing wrong with the way I'm getting treated. That's just how everybody should get treated. So I don't walk around being guilty about it. But I think so many people they feel so attacked. Like,
defensive.
What did I do?
Defensive.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they're defensive. And I'm not insulting. No one's insulting you. That was the meme for white privilege, dude. That was literally the meme. That was like, if you're tired of hearing what about isms and you're tired of hearing like, well, what would happen if this happened? If a cop was encountering a white guy, what if a white suspect did this? That was like the Super Bowl of those scenarios. I mean, literally, there's no place I could imagine walking into and feeling safe. And I'm not one of these dumb white people that's not afraid of police. I'm afraid of police, okay? Like, when they're behind me in my car, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? Maybe it's the thing with Stugatz, you know, the drugs. Yeah. But
probably.
I mean, but I think it was a bad day if you didn't believe in that. And hopefully a lot of people woke up to it. The fact that like all these people just walked in, and the irony of Blue Lives Matter flags, and you're like crushing police officers between riot shields. And I'm not somebody like when David Dorn got shot, I thought that was f***ed up. I think some people were so afraid of this political and ideological tug of war that nobody said that was wrong. That was wrong. But I'm here to say it was f***ing wrong for those people to crush that dude, to beat the guy with a fire extinguisher over the head. Like, what are we doing, dude? You're killing cops with Blue Lives Matter flags and American flags, walking with a guy with a stars and bars, state capitol. Like, what are we doing here, dude?
Chris,
just say it. You don't like America. You've never liked America. You just like white America, dude. Like, it's just so clear. You just told on yourself. It's the whole group. So at least now we know that the red hat is not, like, to me, that red hat is no longer, and I don't care who I piss off saying this, like, that red hat is no longer, like, you don't have plausible deniability anymore. Like, you are literally anti-American. And if you're walking around in public with that hat, I'm not asking people to do anything about that. I'm just saying I'm looking at you as a traitor, as I always have. But now I can be like, hey, traitor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't even deny it.
Chris, how does that all look differently? I know you got to go, but how does that all look differently if the crowd storming those gates is a Black Lives Matter crowd? Because I think people would have been, black bodies would have been stacked up in front of us like firewood. I believe
that's... No doubt about it. No doubt about it, man. Like, no doubt about it. And, you know, people are so tired of hearing this conversation. Well, if you're tired of hearing this conversation, then do something and use your voice and use your privilege or whatever you want to call it. If privilege bothers you, use another fucking word and do something with it. Because it's a meme. The whole thing's a meme. Like, what are we doing? Like, who are we? Do you think we're like 1,000 years old as a country? We're like 200 and something years old, man. Right? Where are we? Did I lose the track of how old we are?
Yeah, 200 something is correct. 200 something is accurate.
Yeah, we're like 250 years old or something. Countries are not like, it's not automatic that countries don't implode, you know, on top of themselves. Like, look at history. Look at history. I mean, I'm no scholar, but goddamn, Wikipedia, man. It's not looking good for us right now. And that's okay to say out loud.
Oh, but it's terrifying. It's just, it feels like this is how freedom crumbles. Like that. And when Stan Van Gundy's coming on here, Chris, and saying, hey, we're in a civil war. This isn't going to stop the 20th. It's not going to stop the 6th. Like, this is the first of acts like these because of the racial strife in this country.
Absolutely, man. And you said, like, taking freedoms away, like, the thing that, the irony is, the thing, we are so, like, we're freedom fetish. Like, we love it. Like, we just scream freedom, and we wear, like, and I've worn the American flag onesies on 4th of July and shit, and I love, you know, I love the flag, and, you know, because of the ideals that I imagine that we could be and the diversity we have in this country. But if we're not doing right by people that we're proud to call fellow countrymen and countrywomen, it's like, it's pointless. All that shit's a facade. It's all a facade. And it always has been if we don't step it up. It always has been.
Chris, we're 243 years old.
Yeah, yeah, so I was off by about seven.
Yeah, younger than Greg Cody, in other words. Chris, thank you for being on with us. Anything that people need to know about the Green Light Pod, this is all going to go viral, Chris. It would have gone so much more viral if you and Stugatz had been in the middle of smoking marijuana while I was asking you
those
questions.
Let's get viral today.
Do you see, don't underestimate what a pro I am. What I'm going to do is be like, you guys owe me. You got to come on my pod and smoke marijuana.
Wow. All right, done.
So I get the viral moment. Guys, come on now. Green Light Pod. Check it out wherever you consume your content. And then also, I got to plug my charity, Chris Long Foundation, waterboys.org. Check us out. We do a lot of clean water work. And, you know, it'd be a good year if you have the means and you are looking to donate, because I know it's hard to donate, to give us a little pick-me-up, because it is hard right now running a foundation.
Well, Chris, I will donate as part of a down payment toward negotiating with you off air in free agency. All right. So,
look at you.
Get Mike Ryan your information. I need to figure something out here.
Send me your jet, Jerry Jones. Like, what are we doing here? Come on. You gotta wine and dine me here. I haven't been out of the house in a while.
My contribution is weed. Okay.
Yes. There you go. Thank you.
Just take me to Wet Willie's, guys.
All right. I don't even know if it'll open again. Wet Willie's is right. No, it's still here. It's a couple of blocks from us. It's okay.
It's open right now, Dan.
Yep. Come on, go get a call cab. All right,
go get one of those right now. In fact, you know what? We're going to do that. The next segment, we're going to get a call a cab. Let's go over there
good
and
luck.
Get some.
The third segment's going to be real sloppy. All right, guys.
See ya.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm going to kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.